Gordon to the left, Little and Best to the right. In the backfield, Bobby Rainey. Here's Hoyer out of the shotgun. Plenty of time, going long. Gordon's wide open. Caught it, 10, 5, touchdown. Welcome back, Josh Gordon.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hoyer's got it. Right corner of the end zone. Jordan Cameron's got it. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
We are only 3 days away. Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions this Sunday, First Energy Stadium. The Browns again looking to win their fourth straight game. And man, would that be sweet if they did it. Nathan Zagora, Vic Carucci here from the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting you ready for that game. We got a loaded show for you today. The Roundtable presented by Sam and Dave's with Doug Deacon and, of course, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Tim Twentyman will be joining us to talk about things from a Detroit perspective, covers the Detroit Lions. So we got a lot of stuff going on. Loaded show, of course. Gerard Cherry will join us in hour number two at 2:45. So we've got a lot to get to, Vic. It's
yes.
A good day. It's an exciting time.
It's an exciting time, and there is lobster in the house. George Schindler and Eric, who is from Sam and Dave's, George from Hospitality Restaurant, stop by because we are featuring on this show now Sam and Dave's and in Rocky River, and a lot that we'll talk about that when we get the roundtable together with Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan. But yeah, great stuff here. It's a feast. It's a lobster feast, and enjoying that, and we'll tell you more about that as we go into the show. But it's a fun time. We're fast approaching a game that I think falls into that category of being pretty defining, Nathan, because can the Browns sustain, handle success? This is a different thing for us to talk about a team that can win every game.
That's fun. It's a fun different thing to get to talk about.
Very
but yes,
fun.
It is very true. It is a different thing. And this right now, the Browns are not the favorites. Calvin Johnson did return to a very limited practice. Sounds like he just kind of stood on the side, did some individual drills, did not participate in any team drills. But this is going to be – it is a test because this Detroit defense has been playing very well. They have a solid team. They've got a great quarterback in Matt Stafford. Obviously, Reggie Bush we know about. And, of course, the big question is whether or not Calvin Johnson can go. But I'll say it again. This is the type of team that the Browns match up with very, very well. Think about the Cincinnati Bengals. And, yes, Matthew Stafford is much better than Andy Dalton. But Cincinnati has one dominant receiver. Their other receivers are okay. They run a lot of two tight end sets. And they have a good back with a lot of speed out of the backfield. It's exactly the same in that sense. You get great Calvin Johnson, not so great Chris Durham, Pat Edwards, Ryan Broyles. They're two tight ends, Brandon Pettigrew, and of course Tony Scheffler, neither of whom I would say are as explosive as Tyler Eifert. So there is a lot to look at in terms of the similarity here, and we talked about this in the preseason. In fact, it's saying this Detroit offense was a good preview of what the Browns are going to be able to do against the Bengals. We saw what they did against the Bengals, so I think it is a fair matchup, and the path to victory here is pretty clear to me.
It is, and I think one of the things that stands out to me about where the Browns are, we've talked, of course, about the obvious areas of improvement that Josh Gordon brought to receiver, the three games that he has been back, and the impact that that's made, how this defense has played, what special teams did against Buffalo, etc. I think overlooked is how well the right side of the Browns' offensive line is performing. Had a discussion with Norv Turner about this, and it was one of the things that he pointed out that is showing up on tape. And he said, just when you review tape, and you and I do this, take a look at the coach's film each week and study it, he goes, watch how these two guys are playing. And it's really three guys when you throw in O'Neal Cousins to the mix at right guard. Now, granted, Sean Laval, a much better answer there, I think. And the alternating of Laval and O'Neal Cousins this past week was a problem because you couldn't get any continuity. And I talked with John Greco about that. But each individual did a pretty solid job. And then you look over at Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, and he's really held his own. And I think this is a big thing to look at for Sunday when the Lions especially go to that wide nine look, when they take Ndamukong Suh and they take Nick Fairley and put them outside and then kick in Ziggy Ansah and then try to give a defense a whole different set of problems to look at. You know, that's when it becomes interesting. But what they'll do more than anything with Brandon Weeden at quarterback, let's just face it, they're going to dare him to throw. They're going to fill that box and say, You're not going to run on us. You're not going to let Willis McGahee, with the 26 carries that he had last week, have any kind of a big day against us. We're going to stop that, and we're going to take our chances with Brandon Weeden throwing.
Absolutely, and that's what the Browns are going to have to do. Josh Gordon's going to have to win. Jordan Cameron's going to have to win. They need to protect the quarterback. Listen, Laval ended up playing 65 of the 71 snaps, so it really wasn't a rotation last week. Cousins got in there for one series, and then they said, okay, let's go back to Laval. So hopefully he's got his sea legs under him. Did not have what I would call a very good game in that one, especially as a run blocker. But hopefully, you know, that's what everybody's going to do, quite frankly. Brandon Weeden beat us. They're not afraid of Willis McGahee, so they probably don't feel like they even have to dedicate that much to the run game. This Browns offensive line has not demonstrated an ability to get enough push for people to average 4.5-5 yards a carry. They take contact pretty quickly after they get the football. The whole onus of this game is going to be on Brandon Weeden to not turn the ball over. The Lions have 8 interceptions, second most in the NFL, and to make a couple of big plays, which you can do. Remember, it was 2 big plays that really keyed the Packers' win. One of them was an 83-yard touchdown pass to James Jones. They will leave guys singled up on the outside. The other, of course, was the big run by Randall Cobb, 67 yards. So this is something that the Browns need to do, make a couple big plays like they did against Buffalo, take care of the football, win the turnover battle, and win the game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, the obvious people that he's got to look for. But he's got to find Devon Best, too. And it was noticeable when he got into that game last week that suddenly Devon Best disappeared. And I don't think Devon Best disappeared because the Bills made him disappear. I don't think Jordan Cameron really disappeared because the Bills made him disappear.
The Bills have been great, Brandon, on tight ends this year for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, I want to chalk it up more to the Browns not effectively doing the job they need to do. Weeden doing the job he needs to do to find those guys. Brian Hoyer found those guys, and that's a fact. Brian Hoyer found Devon Best. It opened things up.
Brandon,
well, he worked with him. Sure he did. I mean, he worked with Best.
What did Best do against Cincinnati? He had 2 catches for 25 yards. Big deal.
Well, Best was more of a factor, I think, in previous games. I'm talking the collective Minnesota and Cincinnati.
Okay, against Minnesota.
Let's put it this way. He did enough to open up some things for other people. Look, the offense wasn't exactly explosive in the Cincinnati game. I'm not suggesting that.
Sure.
But sure as hell disappeared in the and where was Jordan Cameron against the Bills? And please don't tell me it's because the Bills do this phenomenal coverage job, because it wasn't just that. I don't think Weeden looked at Josh Gordon, and then he looked at Greg Little, and that's what he tends to do, and this is the thing they're trying to coach him out of, Nathan, is get him to look at more receivers than just those two guys.
I have no problem with him looking at Josh Gordon all he wants. And let's not forget, in the first 2 games of the year, Brandon Weeden was the quarterback when Jordan Cameron had 196 yards receiving in 2 games, so he can get him the ball. In fact, Jordan Cameron never had more, didn't approach that with Hoyer in the first game against Minnesota. He did have a solid game, obviously, against Cincinnati.
I got the winning touchdown, I think, against Minnesota.
He had a great game against Minnesota. Yeah. I'm just talking about yards and targets and opportunities.
I know all the number things. I'm just saying to you that what you can see, what your eyes tell you, and they don't deceive, when you don't see enough use of – I don't think he's looked enough – he looked enough in this last game at the targets he needed to. This has been the perpetual problem with him, the problem that overrides, you know, I'm talking about body of work when you're defining where he is and what he needs to do. And what he needs to do in this game, because they're going to stop the run, because they're going to clump it all up in the middle, is make those plays, get the ball out, you know, avoid the rush, because if he's going to take the 4 and 5 seconds that he thinks he has at times, it's a disaster. It's not going to happen. So there has to be a critical, dramatic difference in what we've seen from, I think, Brandon Weeden. And in this game, this is really where the test will come. This is the kind of defense that you have to rise above it to succeed, because this is where this game will be won for the Browns, is if they're not overwhelmed by that pass rush, and they're not, you know, that Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, they're going to get their share of pressures, and I know Suh has 2 sacks, but he's opened things up so much for Ziggy Ansah, and he's made things more effective for this line in general. And there are going to be times when they're going to ask John Greco, they're going to ask Sean Laval, hey, hold your blocks, guys. I mean, you're on your own. Make it happen. And as one coach told me, hold on to your butt, your own butt, and hang in there as long as you can. And those extraordinary things are going to have to happen to give the Browns a chance.
Yeah, they got to have time. I'd say this for Weeden. I think he needs to be, you know, decide where he wants to go with the ball. Against Buffalo, he threw 24 passes. 6 to Gordon, 5 to Cameron, 5 to Little, 5 to Bess. So I would say it's not like he locked in on Gordon and gave him 19 targets like we saw in the game against Minnesota. I think that he did a good job of distributing the football in that game. I will say he also holds on to the ball a little bit too long. We talked about that multiple times.
Yeah.
But he did average 8.2 yards per attempt. That is the best a Browns quarterback has done by over a yard and a half in any game this season.
Yeah.
He's got to make some big plays, and he's got to be able to get rid of the football. That's all he's got to do.
It's modest, but I'll tell you this. He got sacked. He got sacked five times. Let's not remove
it. It's huge.
And when he got sacked, that's when those lock-ons were happening, Nathan. I'm telling you, he was.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I mean, you could see it where his head is looking. So the sacks that he had in that game matter in terms of how you are approaching it. If you're
he's been sacked Brandon five
Wade,
times in all
he's been,
three
and
games.
And he's been sacked 16 times now, obviously, in the three games. Yeah, that's an issue. That's a problem.
That's got to be
resolved. But it's got to be on him as much as a line. That's why I say this line is actually doing a better job for him, especially on the right side, that they've had some better protection from Mitchell Schwartz. This, by the way, is the grading that the coaching staff is giving them. This is an opinion that's coming from the coaches, and I believe it because you can see it. And when these things are pointed out, and you go back to tape and you say, you know what, Mitchell Schwartz isn't swimming or drowning as much as he seemed to early on in the year. And when the quarterback gets sacked, and it's on him, and in many cases those five were on Brandon.
Sure.
That's the other thing to look at. So that stuff can't happen Sunday. The Browns got to take that sort of that X factor out of it. I worry about, to some degree, what the defense will do against Reggie Bush, the X factor that he is, the problems that he'll create in coverage, the problems that he's going to challenge those safeties. He's going to challenge those linebackers. I think Tashaun Gibson's done well, and the safety group, T.J. Ward, played some of their best football of late. But I still – and Calvin Johnson, if he plays, what will he be? Is he going to dominate? You know, you got to figure he'll get his catches. I just don't want to see Bush and others beat this team.
I agree with you, and that's how they're going to have to do it. If they're going to win, it's going to have to be Bush and others. So the Browns need to do a good job against the secondary options in this game, and I think they will be able to. Again, Green Bay is not playing phenomenal defense this year, but they were able to get the job done against a Calvin Johnson-less Detroit Lions. I think Calvin's going to give it a go. Joe Hayden, I think, has an opportunity given against a not less than 100% Calvin Johnson to do what he did against A.J. Green and render him, if not, you know, you don't take him away completely, but you try to contain him. And I think that certainly is something this team will try to do. And Matt Stafford doesn't have the weapons in the passing game. At that point, to me, if there's Calvin Johnson is less than 100% and he's being handled by Hayden or he doesn't play, the entire focus of this defense should be on Reggie Bush.
Right.
Chris Durham, go ahead, try to beat me. Brandon Pettigrew, take your 9 yards of catch. Absolutely. And try to beat me. They're Absolutely. Not going to do it.
No, I think you're 1,000% on that. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You tweet us at Browns_daily. We love to hear from you there. By the way, we're going to hear from Paul Kruger, our own Jameer Howerton, sitting down with him. So during the course of the show, hour number two, we'll get into that. As I mentioned, we've got in a couple of minutes coming up the roundtable discussion. Jim Donovan,
yes,
voice of the Browns, and Doug Deacon, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, want to tear into it with those two guys. But it is a different feeling and a different feel around here when you're looking at a team that could win its fourth consecutive game, and suddenly the league-wide conversation about the Browns, Nathan, has changed in a big way.
Yeah, it's changed in a massive way. All of a sudden, this is a team tied for first place after five games, the latest it's been since 1995. We keep talking about that. That's a long time ago. Oh. So it is a national conversation talking about how good this defense has been, and now the question that everybody wants to know, and clearly this is what you start off with, is can Brandon Whedon do the things he must do to keep this momentum going? Take care of the football. Don't lock on to receivers and hold the football and wait for people to come open. In the NFL, you need to throw people open and get the ball out on time and rely on your timing to create openings. People aren't going to be running open like it's in the backyard. So if he can do those things, hit a couple big plays, this team has an opportunity to keep the ball rolling, and I hopefully think they will. Now, as far as the turnovers go, he had three in the first half against Miami. Since then, he has not thrown an interception.
Right.
He does not have a turnover. That's good. Got to keep building on that, and Brandon Whedon, take care of the ball. Let the defense do what the defense does. Hit a couple of those big plays. Get Jordan Cameron going again this week after a subpar last week against Buffalo, and get this offense going. This offense needs to, I think, against – if Calvin's not 100%, which I think at this point it's fair to assume that he's not,
yeah, he
again.
Yeah, limited practice today.
Just stood on the sides, had a big brace on his knee.
Yeah.
So 20 points makes the Cleveland Browns competitive week in and week out. With 20 points, they have an opportunity to win games. So that's the number, to me, they have to get to. And if they get there, they're going to be able to win or at least be in a position late in the game to win much more often than not.
You know, Jabal Sheard coming back from that knee injury, which I think is sooner than
huge.
A lot of us thought. But how big is that?
Massive.
To have him in there and to enhance a pass rush that is done a very good job without him in there. That includes obviously what the D-line is doing. I would love to see Billy Winn back. It doesn't look like that's likely, but just the Sheard and Quinton Groves returning to the mix, what that now does to crank it up once again. Because I think when those guys are in there, that's a pretty unblockable front. Somebody gets free, somebody makes a play.
Yeah, and Jabal certainly helps against the run. He's been playing the run phenomenally well. And if this team is really going to rely on Reggie Bush a lot, having Jabal out there is fantastic. It's good for coverage. It keeps Mingo fresh to come off and get after the quarterback like he does. Jabal Sheard, to me, and I said it before the season, and I still believe it, is one of the best players on this team and one of the best players on what I think is an excellent, excellent defense. So getting him back is massive. I don't think it can be overstated how important it is.
All right, we're going to have the roundtable assembled. And again, we will get Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon, as we do regularly here on Thursdays. It's going to be, instead of brought to you by Sam and Dave, let's say it's served by Sam and Dave. Served in style. You like that a little better? Served in style by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. That is coming up on a Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.